Let's keep talking about this Utah recruiting class, and we can ask that question to our next guest. Find him on Twitter at dsorensen, renovateutezone.com, part of the Scout Network for the University of Utah. It is Dan Sorensen. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dan.
Thanks for having me on. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Did the University of Utah land a left tackle in this class? Could Jordan Ungasiva, could he be a left tackle, or is he more fitting in at the guard spot for now?
You know, I don't think he's a left tackle. I think he could play right tackle. Certainly, you know, that's what he played at Pima. And, you know, he's got, you know, great footwork, great athleticism. He could do that, especially if he drops, you know, 15, 20 pounds. I don't see him necessarily as a left tackle. I think that Jackson Barton is your guy when it comes to that. You know, I think down the line, Mo Unutoa is a guy that could play left tackle. You know, he's a really long guy. I love his film. His film is fantastic. And so, but, you know, obviously, you know, true freshman coming and stepping into an offensive line in the Pac-12, that's a really tall order. So it's not something I would expect this year for sure.
Dan, big picture, what do you think of this class? How do you think Utah feels about this class?
I think it's a fantastic class. So I've been doing this for 12, 13 years, and this is, at least on paper, the best signing class I've ever seen. You know, six four-star kids, Army All-American and Jalen Johnson that came from Southern California. That's never happened before, where Utah gets an All-American from California to come in, you know, and hope to start. They filled the holes they needed to fill in terms of, you know, getting guys on the offensive line, certainly getting guys in the secondary. That secondary class is fantastic for the two four-star safeties. They got three four-star cornerbacks. I mean, you know, that secondary looks like it's going to be really good over the next couple of years because of this class. And on offense, they filled needs as well in terms of wide receiver, in terms of a playmaking back in T.J. Green, offensive lineman. So overall, I think it's a fantastic class. It's not as good as it could have been had they landed, you know, a couple of the big-time guys that are in state. But, you know, it's a good class, and I think by and large, Utah's pretty happy with what they have.
Jalen Johnson had some really impressive offers, Oklahoma, USC. He's the four-star corner you were talking about. Corian Ballard was offered by Oklahoma State, Nebraska. He's the top JUCO safety that Utah landed. What are the chances both those guys are starting in 2017, in your opinion?
I think there's a great chance for both. I mean, Ballard's already on campus. Marcus Williams is gone. The expectation is that he picks up the defense quickly in spring ball, and that he's locked and loaded and ready to go in terms of playing free safety for the Utes this fall. In terms of Jalen Johnson, his film for a high school corner is some of the best I've ever seen. I mean, the kid is an absolute animal. He's so aggressive in pushing guys off the line. He loves to play that man-to-man corner, and he's got fantastic speed and athleticism. You know, I was watching his film and thinking, man, he's better than some of the guys that are getting reps right now for the U, you know, when I was watching him on film. So I think that he's got a fantastic chance to start. And one guy you didn't ask about that also has a chance to come in and contribute immediately is Javelin Guidry, the other four-star corner out of Southern California. You know, he picked the Utes over Texas. He's more of a nickel back, and I think there's going to be an opportunity at nickel, especially with Justin Thomas gone. And this kid is pure speed. He's got a sub 10.5 100. And, you know, he's a guy that, with his ball skills and with his athleticism and speed, you know, if he's not starting, he's going to get reps this fall.
Can you kind of explain the backstory with T.J. Green? I mean, he's a four-star kid, depending on where you look, and I know he didn't have a ton of offers. Neither Arizona school offered him, despite the fact that he was the number one Arizona running back. Well, what's kind of his backstory, and how did he end up at Utah?
You know, he was committed to Oregon State for a long time. He committed somewhat early in the process. I'm not entirely sure what the backstory is in terms of why the local schools weren't after him. I know that Arizona State loaded up on running backs, and they were looking mostly out of state. I think they wanted a bigger back. In terms, you know, he's decent size. You know, he's 5'11", 185. Is what he's listed, at least on our website, but he's not a huge power back. He's more of the speed back. He does really well in a spread offense, especially going out and catching passes. That's, you know, one of his strong skill sets. And really, so he was committed to Oregon State for a long time. And when Troy Taylor came in as the new offensive coordinator, they knew they needed to get a running back. They had targeted several of them. But we noticed a shift in the types of backs they were looking for when they started offering backs after he came in. And they were guys like T.J. Green, smaller guys, faster guys. Speed was a priority over everything. And, you know, that's what his game is. He's a guy that you want to get him the ball in space because he's a threat to take it to the house every time he touches it. And really, so Troy Taylor and Kyle McDonald and Fred Whittingham really made T.J. Green a priority. They were able to bring him in for a visit. And even when he visited, I was talking to people on the Oregon State side, and they were not concerned at all about Utah flipping him. And Utah basically sold him on the quality of the two programs and comparing and contrasting and really the opportunity that he would have at Utah in that new offense. And, you know, the rest is history. He becomes a Ute. And I frankly, you know, I think he's a big get. He's not one of the most talked about guys in the offensive class, but I think he's going to be a really strong contributor for several years.
Utah beat out Washington, Arizona, and Cal for the services of Nick Ford. He's a big player, 6'6", 270 from California. What side of the ball could he play, though, on in the long-term picture?
I mean, that's the beauty of a prospect like him is he's so athletic. He could play offensive or defensive line. He's going to start out at Utah as a defensive tackle. Utah promised him that. And when you watch his film at defensive tackle, you know, for a guy that's 6'6 and 280, you know, usually when you see guys that big, they're really stiff, especially if they put them on the D-line at the high school level. And that's not the case at all. He's quick. He moves well. He's really strong. He's able to throw off blockers. And so, you know, he's going to start his career as a Ute, as a defensive tackle, and they're going to give him a look. And the nice thing is, if it doesn't pan out, he's so long and he's so athletic that it wouldn't be strange to see him, you know, maybe get a chance at tackle, which is what most schools were recruiting him as. But, you know, he wants to hit people and he wants to be a defender, and that's really what his passion is. And so Utah promised him that's what the opportunity that he would get.
Dan Sorensen's our guest, 1320 KFan. The Utes got a couple of big names at wide receiver. I'm curious, who do you think is going to come in and maybe contribute a little bit quicker, and who has the higher upside? Tyquez Hampton, the receiver from Texas, and then obviously kind of maybe the surprise this morning that Utah landed was Brian Thompson, the wide receiver out of California.
Sure. Tyquez Hampton probably has the inside track, mostly because he's on campus now. Now, this kid is a good receiver. He was committed to Washington State. You know, if anything, they know how to identify a good wide receiver prospect. And so, you know, Utah was able to flip him, which was fantastic. And, you know, so he's on campus now. He's going to learn the offense. He's going to have an opportunity to prove himself. Really like his potential. He reminds me a lot of former U Anthony Denham that spent some time with the Houston Texans. You know, great big huge guy. He's not necessarily a burner getting off the line, but you know, he's got long legs, and once he gets ahead of steam, you know, he's going to be able to run past people as well. But you know, he's a guy that's got a lot of potential. But Brian Thompson, you know, that was a huge get for the coaching staff today. We'd heard as late as yesterday that Oregon was coming in, making a really strong push. UCLA tried to make a push last weekend to try to sway him. And so the fact that Utah was able to land him is a great recruiting win for them. And really, I think his ceiling is so high, higher than anybody else in the class in terms of offensive recruits. And he's a guy that hasn't played a ton of football. He was all CIF Southern Section this last year and put up great numbers, is tremendously athletic, has fantastic speed, and is a guy that I think is going to be a playmaker for a long time. Now, I don't know how quickly he's going to be able to see the field because these guys still have to come in the fall and adjust to the speed of the game at the college level, and they have to be able to learn the playbook and that sort of thing. And so, you know, it's not the end of the world if he has to redshirt, but I love his potential.
Utah had a spot saved for Jay Tufele. Clearly, now they have a scholarship available. Could they use that on another prospect? Would they might give that to Cooper Bateman? I mean, how do you think they'll use that spot?
So Coach Whittingham talked a little bit about that in his press conference. They've got one available spot. You know, that was Tufele's spot if he wanted it. He obviously didn't, which is fine. Utah's going to move on. They're going to look at a couple of things. So we're going to see either a guy that's going to come in that's maybe under the radar and join the team during the summer, and they'll hang on to that spot for that. Kind of a situation like Armon Shine. Armon Shine showed up in August, or he committed in late July, showed up in August and had a scholarship waiting for him, was really under everybody's radar, but came in and played really well until he got hurt. So we might see somebody like that, especially a wide receiver type. I know that they've got a couple of guys that they're looking at in terms of maybe trying to push forward or gray shirt. So there's, you know, there's sometimes guys that slip through the cracks. So they'll evaluate those guys, or, you know, or they'll give it to a transfer or something like that. But, you know, there's the spot. It'll get used at some point, but I don't think that they've got a few guys in mind, but they haven't solidified the plan with it just yet.
Dan Sorensen's our guest, 1320K fan. What about John Pennacini coming up from the University of Utah? You noted that the Utes lost out, obviously, on J2 Fele, but this is a kid coming up. He's been committed to Utah for a long time. He's kind of unique. He's a JUCO transfer, but does he have 3 years to play three?
3 years to play three. So Pennacini played for Snow as a freshman, and he was the best defensive lineman on that team that year. And then they had a couple of four-star guys. But he was a fantastic. When you look at his film, he reminds me a lot of Tenny Palapoy that played for the Utes, plays for the Chargers now. He's a guy that, you know, I think that a lot of people forget about those early guys. You know, the kind of the excitement of the commitment has worn off, and especially because he didn't play this last year. He sat out this last year to focus on his academics, and so that he could have 3 years to play three and have 3 years in the Division I program, which is to his benefit. People kind of forgot about him, but he probably, given his talent, would have been a lot more highly touted had he played a second year on the JUCO ranks, but he didn't, and that's to Utah's benefit. I think he's a fantastic defensive tackle. He's going to be able to come in and, you know, hopefully he's in shape and he's going to be able to, you know, do something in terms of earning his way into the rotation. You know, this is a path that Starlo Tulele also followed, and so, you know, it's not uncommon for JUCO guys to do this kind of thing. And so, you know, he saw the path in front of him, and he's taken it, and he's a guy that I expect to be a really strong contributor over the next couple of years.
All right, really quick, Dan, what can you tell us about Marquise Blair, who committed to the University of Utah, another JUCO kid? And do you think Utah maybe abandons the hometown hero approach that they've had to landing local kids, where this year clearly they didn't do great as far as bringing in the top kids in the state of Utah?
Yeah, so quickly about Blair. Fantastic athlete, well-deserving of that four-star status. Just watch his film. It's fantastic. He's awesome. He loves to hit. He's the kind of guy that you want to play strong safety. You know, I think he's going to have a real opportunity to play. Even though Chase Hansen's on campus, Blair's going to have a chance to play and allow Utah to do a lot of different things with Hansen because of his athleticism. And they can bring Blair along a little bit more slowly because Hansen's there. But in terms of the hometown hero question, you know, I think that you're going to see a big shift of gears for the Utes. They put a lot of time and effort into some of these major recruits, you know, the Katoas of the world, the J2 Feles of the world. And, you know, that hometown hero message, you know, just it's not resonating with the kids. You know, they just don't care about showing out for their hometown team. So I think that they're going to go back to the drawing board. They're going to maybe look at how they're positioning the school a little bit differently, about how they're messaging the kids a little bit differently. They might, you know, they gave an awful lot of access to these kids. You know, these kids were almost a part of the team in some respects. And I think that they're going to step back and maybe give less access to guys and make them really prove that they want to be Utes, and that it's an honor to be a Ute, and really sell the program that way. But I think we're going to see some changes, because it's so hard for Utah and for really all of the in-state programs to take the top guys in the state and keep them home.
You can find him on Twitter at @dsorensen. You can read him as a part of Ute Zone. Dan, really great stuff. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for having me on. There